Genesis chapter 3, and hopefully everybody's turned there. We'll be turning to a couple passages in the book of Genesis and Exodus, and also we'll turn to the Christmas story just a little bit later here. But if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and oh, I love the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And last Sunday, I thought Pastor was actually going to not steal the message, but ultimately tag along with the message, but I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me peace about it to still preach on these couple of things, and just got 3 points for us tonight. And as we go throughout this Christmas season, I'm so thankful that we could celebrate Christ's birth. And when we think about fear, you know, ultimately, I know we went through a couple of passages about fear not last Sunday. And fear can be sometimes a harming thing. Fear has been a part of even the human existence, even before, think about the fall of man. You know, look with me in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and notice with me what it says in verse 8. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden." It would be so cool to be able just to hear God's voice. And I know we still have that still audible voice, but it'd just be amazing. And when we get to heaven, just be able to hear his voice, to be have him right next to us. And we're just a privilege to be able to just thank you, Lord, for everything. And I can't imagine that day, what a blessing that's going to be. But notice as we keep reading, "In the garden, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." And we'll stop in verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" And we know ultimately they hid because of their sin. Ultimately, they ate a part of that tree that they ultimately God told them, you can have pretty much anything imaginable. But ultimately, this one tree that you cannot eat a part of. And ultimately, God is saying here, just simply obey me. Just simply, you know, trust in me. And I'm going to provide every single need. But ultimately, they knew that ultimately they tried to even attempt to cover up themselves. And they knew that ultimately, you know, they failed that. They didn't show off, you know, their fig leaves and say, "Hey, Lord, I got my fig leaves. I'm ready to go." But they knew that their own covering was very inadequate. You know, they were even embarrassed before God. I think about many times in my life how many times we can be embarrassed before God. Maybe we said something, maybe we did something, maybe we, you know, looked at something, but also we get very embarrassed. But notice as we keep reading, notice what it says in verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." And ultimately, notice, you know, we hear this heartfelt cry of an anguished father that's ultimately, God obviously knew exactly what they did. But they knew ultimately from that moment when they sinned, there was that gulf that's between them, and the only, that will have the bridge would be himself. And you think the question here, it says here in verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, Where art thou?" And sometimes, you know, you look at questions, why does this question is in this particular text, or what does it mean? But notice this question ultimately was meant to arouse Adam in a sense of being lost and knowing that he sinned, and ultimately sin separates us from God. And I can't imagine living in a perfect world. It'd be amazing to be able to do perfect, be able to not to have any heartaches, not have any tears, not have any broken hearts, not to, you know, be able to, you know, when you're sitting there tilling the ground, all those weeds you have to pull, oh, that hurts. But imagine being imperfect and with Christ and just amazing. But ultimately, this question was ultimately to express God's sorrow, a man's lost condition. But I'm so thankful that he died on the cross so that we can spend everlasting life with him. But notice also with this question, ultimately, God is seeking even before, ultimately, after lost men. And ultimately, this question also brings accountability that ultimately man had before God. And notice how amazing our God is, even when we sin. And notice what it says in verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." Notice this, in the cool of the day. And you think when you displease the Lord, you know, sometimes he's going to come down and rah, you know, come get you. But ultimately, you know, amazing how he came patiently. I'm so thankful that we serve a patient God. And ultimately, we know it is in the very cool of the day. But not only that, notice this, even the cool of the day, he even came with care. You know, amazing. You think about, you know, when you sin and ultimately there's that, you know, that separation and maybe you wronged somebody or maybe you did something, you want to come with full force and you want to attack, but ultimately God is simply coming with care and realizing that there's sin that's between them and God before the very darkness of night. Notice ultimately verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" He come personally. I'm so thankful that we have a personal God that addresses us even by name. But also, he came patiently, came with care personally, then also with truth. Ultimately, he showed them the very lost condition which each and every one of us have, you know, which is sin. We think about every, you know, one, regardless of how brave we may be. If I ask somebody who's the bravest person in here, you know, there's be some sort of fear, some sort of worry, some sort of doubt that we may go through in life. Now, I remember many years, I was afraid of heights. And sometimes when I get across, maybe we're going on a mountain or a little hike, and sometimes I get afraid, or I remember even sometimes flying, you're holding on, even though you're safe, I'm sitting here holding on, looking outside, oh, you know. But then I was able to take my wife just the other day to, they have a new attraction called the Sky Bridge. And ultimately, you're walking the Smoky Mountains right on a bridge. And there's all sorts of cables that's holding it up. But I'm sitting here walking like I never walked before. It's just amazing. I wasn't even fearful. You know, what amazing that was. I'm sitting here enjoying the views, enjoying those nice mountain views of the Smoky Mountains. But some of us today, you know, we have a fear of snakes. Ooh, thankfully I didn't bring any snakes tonight. No, but some of us maybe are afraid of spiders. Ooh, how many of us are afraid of spiders? Maybe some of us. Maybe we're afraid of diseases. Maybe we're afraid of sicknesses. Maybe we're afraid of old age. Maybe we're afraid of gray hair. I can't, you know, man, you know, in a couple years, I don't know, you know, hopefully I don't have gray hair yet. No, but gray hair shows wisdom as well. But ultimately, maybe some of us are afraid of rejection. Maybe some of us are afraid of disappointment. So maybe some of us are afraid of even exposure. But also, sometimes we are afraid of even be forgotten. But even in the Bible, we see example after example after example how men, ultimately people in the Bible, they were fearful. Notice with me, just turn to a couple chapters over to Genesis chapter 12 with me. And notice even Abraham and then also Sarah. And this is an incredible passage. But notice with me what it says in Genesis chapter 12. And notice with me starting in verse 11, and notice what Abraham is going to do here. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 11, "And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it should come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." Notice verse 13. "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And notice, ultimately, he's fearful. No, ultimately, and he lied about Sarah out of fear. No, ultimately, Abraham is trying to persuade Sarah to lie on his behalf. He's trying to simply deceive. Ultimately, hey, Sarah, you're fair, look upon. I'm going to try to deceive to be able to get out of this. But ultimately, Abraham trusted in his deception, not trusting in God that can do anything. He can move mountains. He can help us even when we're in the depths of the sea. But notice with me, even just a couple chapters over to Genesis chapter 32 with me. Genesis 32. And notice what it says here in the book of Genesis chapter 32. We know the story probably quite well, Jacob and Esau. But notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 6. And it says here, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Notice verse 7. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds and the camels and the two bands and said, if Esau come to the company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. But notice this, ultimately, before even Jacob even left home, you know, Jacob, you know, ultimately we know that Rebekah, now ultimately told Jacob, notice what Rebekah told Jacob here in Genesis chapter 27, and notice what it says in verse 45. Notice what Rebekah tell Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, verse 45, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forgot that which thou hast done to him, then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why shall I be deprived also of you both in one day? But ultimately, we know that ultimately Esau, even, you know, still, you know, even after 20 years later, you think about how can, you know, Esau still be still angry? But, you know, we know Jacob have every right to simply believe God and that God will protect him. Notice in Exodus, turn with me to the book of Exodus. There's a couple chapters over. The book of Exodus, notice with me in chapter 2. No, as we take a look here in Exodus chapter 2, we talk about Moses and how Moses feared even Pharaoh. And notice with me in Exodus chapter 2, and starts in Exodus 2 verse 14, and it says, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Notice ultimately Moses has an amazing story. And ultimately, Moses opened his eyes to an unfriendly world and was born in a very powerful nation. Now, you think at the time, babies were under a death sentence. But we see here, ultimately, he had a brother, Aaron, and also a sister, Miriam, in Exodus 6, verse 20. But also, Moses' mother literally sensed that what Pharaoh told them to do in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. But then we know, if we read through the story, Moses, he grew and ultimately became a teenager, became an adult, and he gained sympathy for the Israelites, his people. And notice with me, even as we turn to the book of Acts, and what it says even about Moses in the book of Acts here, in Acts chapter 7, and notice what the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 23 says about Moses. And it says here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, and it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And we know that he looked at the burdens, he saw the emotion. Moses even killed an Egyptian. But as we see here, God promised that ultimately the leaders will simply hear him. Notice what even the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18 says. It says, Exodus chapter 3 verse 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto them, him, the Lord God of the Hebrews, and met with us. And now let us go, we beseech ye, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Even notice with me in Exodus chapter 4, even same with Moses, he even feared rejection. It says here, Moses answered and said in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 4, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And ultimately, you know, we follow. It's amazing to be able to see what's ultimately is going to happen time after time. Ultimately, we know, you know, trying to have the Israelites to let go of Pharaoh. And ultimately, we know all these plagues of blood, frogs, mosquitoes, flies, cattle. I can't imagine living in those times. But finally, God judged, we know what, stubborn Pharaoh. And ultimately, we know as they went through that Red Sea, and many of us go through those Red Sea moments, and as the Israelites walk on dry ground, what an amazing sight that is. And ultimately, we think about even the disciples feared the storm. For sake of time, we want to turn there in Matthew chapter 8. And we know that ultimately, even in this Christmas season, people are still caught up in fear. people are still, you know, even though it's, it should be a time of joy, we should be having this, the happiest smile ever because of what Christ did for us. It should be a happy time. It should be totally Christ-centered as well. You know, sometimes we fear, even especially this Christmas time, not having enough money. You know, oh, I got to get this gift. I got to get that gift. Oh, man, my wife want this, a lot of money gift. Oh, man. But ultimately, sometimes we fear over that. Sometimes we even fear over not meeting everybody's expectations. Sometimes we worry over meals and how in the world I'm going to provide for that turkey, how in the world I'm going to have the stuffing for the gravy and all sorts of things. And sometimes we worry, oh, who's going to be here? Who's not going to be here? Oh, something's going to happen here. But ultimately, sometimes we sometimes seem to fear, sometimes literally almost everything we go through. But I'm so thankful, and as we turn to Luke chapter 1, there's a couple of fear nots in the Bible. And let these three fear nots, as we go through, and there's fear nots all throughout the Bible, try to encourage us today. You know, I'm so thankful that in Luke chapter 1, notice number 1 here, in Luke chapter 1, we don't have to fear over God's providence. We don't have to fear over God's providence, over God's hand. Oh, God's almighty guardianship, he's going to care for us. And notice what it says in here in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. The virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, that thou art highly favored. Oh, let that be said of us. The Lord is with thee. Let that be said of us. Blessed art thou among women. Notice as we see here, number one, ultimately behind this, the calmness of Mary. Sometimes we think when we go through a fearful situation, we sometimes go crazy. You know, I don't know what's actually going to happen. You fear over this. Sometimes... Notice how calm Mary was. It's just amazing. And ultimately, we know when in verse 26, when Gabriel appears to Mary, you think about at this time, she's getting ready. You know, she's engaged to a man named Joseph. And you think about the time, I think about the time when I was even engaged to Anna, you know, what a great time it was. Oh, I just can't wait to get married. And you think about, you know, Mary dreaming of her Prince Charming and dreaming of just the ability to be able to marry and the dreams of dawning of that time. But as we see here, notice the challenge. You know, it says in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And notice as we keep reading, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Notice this challenge here. And ultimately, we know the great, you know, privilege that Mary is going to have here. It says in verse 31, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice the challenge. You think when Gabriel made that announcement, there's probably even a couple of things that's going through her mind here. And sometimes it could be a life of completely upside down. And sometimes we think, oh no, what Joseph's going to think here? You know, I know I've been, you know, pure. I've been righteous. Ultimately, I know I'm trying to do my best for the Lord. And, it seems like sometimes life is totally upside down. But we know Mary is called to bring what? Shame, to bear reproach, to bear humiliation, but not for her glory, but for the glory of God. And think about what would be a great privilege to be able to bear, you know, God's Son, you know, Jesus Christ. And as we think about it here, you know, also carry with a lot of things with it as well. But sometimes, you know, we see the part of the Christian life. You know, sometimes there are challenges. You know, I think about, you know, even a quote that I came across from Pastor Sexton, and there was a class that we took, and it was called Personal Evangelism. And one of the end of the course's assignments was to quote the pastor 50 times. So whether it be from class, whether it be from chapel, whether it be from the school or the church, and one of the things that he said was this: the key to living the Christian life is living consciously under the ruling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The key to living the Christian life is living consciously under the ruling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these couple verses that I came across also as well. And notice, you know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know that the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Notice Proverbs 16 verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directed his steps. Notice in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Notice Ephesians 2, verse 10. I think we know this verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice another one, Job 42, verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and thou no thought can be withholden from thee. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We know this verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And there are so many verses in which are very encouraging. But ultimately, you know, think about it as the secret of surviving these times is simply trusting in God alone. Trusting, you know, as we think about even that quote, what Pastor Sexton says, living on the very consciously under the ruling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about when we get right, you know, we give God his rightful place in our lives. No, ultimately, we're going to act like it. We're going to live like it. And as we go throughout this world, I'm so thankful that there's nothing that I really can do, but only Christ that can do everything through me. But notice as we keep reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, and Mary said, actually, let me go up here, verse 32, and he shall be great. Oh, I'm so thankful we have a great God, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Notice the very consecration of Mary. It was just amazing. Despite of all the shame that she's going to bear, despite of all the heartache that sometimes we think in our mind that's going to happen, despite of the humiliation that she's going to bear, despite all today, but Mary was willing to submit herself to the Lord, to the very will of the Lord. No, she sets up a great example of obedience. I love the song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord's commanded, doing it happily. What action is the key to obediently? Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And as we learn to submit to the Lord's will in every area of our life. Now remember, many times Pastor Sexton said this. I remember even one time I was talking to him and he simply said this: are you dying to self? Are you dying to self? It's a constant daily dying of what my fleshly desires, of what my wants, and what with the things in which I want to get accomplished, but saying, you know what, I'm not going to touch any of that, but Lord, you're going to have to help me, and I want your will to be done. If it means by to do this, and it may go out of my comfort zone, if it's for your perfect will, that's exactly what I want to accomplish. But notice, as we see here, number one, do not fear God's providence. Do not fear his care. I'm so thankful that we can live a life that is full of faith. Forsaking all, I completely trust him. But notice number two, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 here. And notice this, fear not, in Matthew chapter 1. And as we even take a look a little bit with the time we have a little bit shortly, about Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, and turn with me to verse 18. And notice this here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That was verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But we know Pastor did a very good explanation on this passage, so I won't take a long time with this passage here tonight. But notice number two here, do not fear God's plan. Do not fear God's plan. Sometimes I had to learn that the hard way. But I'm so thankful, you know, one of the greatest answers to prayer, one of the greatest things I simply, Lord, you know, I'm going to have to trust in you and let your will be done, is simply when I started to move back here. And say, you know what? I could have simply lived in Tennessee all my life. Now, as we know, I'm wearing a Tennessee tie tonight. Now I have a Tennessee keychain now. And all sorts of things. I bleed orange. But ultimately, that wasn't his will for me to be down there, to live down there. But ultimately, his will, just amazing how he opened those doors. Being faithful to him, coming back here to be able to rent a little tiny house that we're still at, a 305 square foot tiny house. And man, I can't imagine, you know, what Travis is going to be in a couple of years, but you know what? You know, the Lord has a perfect will, and we're going to simply trust in him. And I think about, you know, even leading to this position at this church, it's just amazing how the Lord opened those doors and just simply living a life that is full of faith. But notice Joseph here, and of course, you know, a lot was going on in his mind. We see the very pain of Joseph. And ultimately, Joseph, like Mary, was on. You think about knowing the way to having. Can't wait to get married. I can't wait for that wedding day. The next note, you come home. You hear he's Mary's pregnant. And sometimes, oh, man, that shattered my dreams and all sorts of things that's going through Joseph. You know, ultimately, we know that there's two possible things. And even one of the things in Deuteronomy chapter 24 that can ultimately lead her to death. No, under the law, ultimately could ultimately be ridiculed and humiliation to the public, and ultimately couldn't have been resulted of death. But also notice the great privilege that Joseph was able to have to be a father. Notice what it says here in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, of course, you know, Pastor did a very good job last week. A lot of things that he could have been thinking through. Maybe you're going through a fearful time in your life. There's a lot of things we're thinking through. It's just going to come out right. How in the world are we going to get through this? Maybe it's some financial thing. How in the world are we going to pay for this? Or how in the world are we going to do this? Maybe somebody's in the hospital, whatever it may be. But notice as Joseph here says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Keep reading down here, verse 22. And now all that was done, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with the child, and shall bring forth a son. Our memory verse for this month. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. As Joseph pondered about those words and about all his situation, just amazing how ultimately God handpicked him by God to provide Jesus with his physical, then also spiritual, you know, training. And just amazing the privilege. You know, I think about even the privilege I have of being the father to Travis. It is so precious. You know, sometimes I don't want him to grow. You know, he's so tiny, and now he's getting bigger, and it's hard to believe that he's one day he's going to be walking, one day he's going to be talking, and one day he's going to be, I'm going to have to come around here and start running and catching him. You know, all sorts of things. But what a great privilege that Joseph had to be able to be a father, you know, to Jesus. But not only that, notice, you know, verse 24 says, and Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Joseph simply obeyed. Verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Notice the very priority. And ultimately, Joseph was willing, ultimately, took the assignment that was offered him by God. We know sometimes we go throughout our life asking, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? But we see it was never a question with Joseph. No questions of what ifs. He was willing to simply obey God's clear command without question. Let that be said of us. We don't have to fear God's purposes. God's in total control. He's the one that can turn something 360 degree in just a second. Now, it may be bad, when we first go into, the battle or the fear, but in the end, let God be glorified. And you know what? I'm so thankful that we can be blessed. But notice number three here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 here. Now, I'm so thankful we don't have to fear God's providence. We don't have to fear his care provision. But notice ultimately, number two, we don't have to fear God's plan. But notice with me as we finish up here today in Luke chapter 2. And I'm so thankful that last week we was able to have our children's program. And just so thankful that we can have a children's program as a church. And thankful for that. Our pastor has a heart for that. And Emma did a very good job reading Luke chapter 2. And notice as we wrap up today, do not fear God's providence. Do not fear God's plan. But also as well, don't fear God's presentation. Notice with me in Luke chapter 2 and starting in verse 8. It says here, starting in verse 8, and it says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." You know, notice this here, these shepherds. Notice the burden of these shepherds. And think about these men, and these men were dirty, they were vulgar, they were smelly, they were, unkept. Sometimes you probably don't want to go near that person. Have you ever been in a crowd before? Like, ooh, I'm not going near that person. I'm going to try to stay as far away as I can, or whatever it may be. But these men here, not only were separated from God, then also in man, but also notice, think about it, these men needed Christ as well. And notice, the blessedness of these shepherds' lives. And as the angel came and they were able to ultimately, go see Jesus. But notice what it says here. It says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." Sometimes the question we bring up, why were they afraid? Why were they afraid? And when we think about even when we get afraid as sinners, sinners have always displayed what fear when we are confronted with the truth and ultimately with the very reality of God. Sometimes it's hard going face to face with God and confronting our sin, but I'm so thankful that we have a God that hears us and answers us. And I'm so thankful that we have a forgiving God, we have a loving God, we have a merciful God. But notice as well here, it says here as we keep reading here in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege to think about these shepherds and as they met baby Jesus and be able to see, their lives were changed forever. Think about it. They left that manger spreading the great news of the gospel. Let's notice, let's keep reading verse 14. And it says, verse 14. Here we go, verse 12 actually. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away for them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they have seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. We'll read to verse 20. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." But it says here, verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Notice this. "Then the shepherds were turned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen. It was told unto them." Think about they were left the manger spreading the great news of the gospel that the Messiah has come, the Messiah is born. And think about all those heard the shepherd's story, were marveled at what they were saying. And you think about just amazing how God even used those shepherds. But as we see here, no, we don't have to fear over God's providence. We don't have to fear over God's plan, because you know what? His plan is perfect. His plan is ultimately, is way better, is higher than ours. But also, number three, don't fear God's presentation. As we think about even the fear not of salvation. Maybe there's somebody that's in here today that doesn't know Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to trust him today. Notice, ultimately, as we wrap up here this evening, notice verse 20 again. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they've heard, have seen, and was told unto them. Let me ask you this tonight. Maybe there's something that's on your heart right now. It could be a fear. It could be a worry. It could be a doubt. It could be literally anything that comes between us and God. I remember many times, even thinking today, we always go through, as we go with the children, sending anything we say, think that displeases God. Maybe there's a fear that's on our heart today. Can I encourage you with something? Just bring it to Jesus. We have an old-fashioned altar that we can simply, in the quietness, and as we get to just lift that up to the Lord. Maybe there's sadness, or we could bring it to Jesus. Is there fear over something? We could bring it to Jesus. Is there disappointment in our life? We could bring it to Jesus. Are there burdens too heavy to bear? I'm so thankful that we can bring it to Jesus and cast it at his feet. Is there brokenness and despair? We could bring it to Jesus. Is there failure and defeat? We can bring it to Jesus. And whatever is causing us to fear, or whatever may be doubting, or whatever it may be, can I encourage you tonight to simply bring it before Jesus? We don't have to fear this Christmas time. I know many times, we get fearful of passing out a tract, or fearful over sharing our faith, or fearful over even telling something, or whatever it may be. But this time should be a joyous time. Should be a happy time. We should be so excited when somebody, we go into the store, they're questioning, why is this person so happy? Why is this person, just smiling like all crazy? Is there something wrong with this guy? But ultimately, we can go and share the great news of the gospel. Think about it, we have a great opportunity, especially this Christmas time, to tell. You think about it, there's all sorts of stores are playing Christmas music. You can hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it's like they're hearing the truth, even though they don't even know it. Wow, what a great privilege to be able to share our faith. I love the gospel track back there about the greatest gift. Do we have the greatest gift? And I'm so thankful that we can have the greatest gift. Okay, have every head bowed and eyes closed and no looking around.